Hey everybody, it's Emily here to talk to you about Adam and Eve. Spring is in the air, but is it in your step? Is it in your bed? If you're interested in better sex starting now, go to adamandeve.com. They've got toys, lingerie, accessories, everything you need to level up your pleasure checks. And right now, Adam and Eve is offering 50% off just about any item. Plus, free shipping, which includes rush processing. That's discreet shipping, plus 100% free shipping with rush processing on your entire order. Doesn't matter how much you spend or what you buy, all will be packaged and sent discreetly, free and fast. So just go to adamandeve.com and select any one item. It could be an adventurous new toy or anything you desire. Just enter offer code PAWPAW at checkout. That's PAWPAW, P-A-W-P-A-W at adamandeve.com. This is an exclusive offer specific to this podcast, so be sure to use code PAWPAW to get your discount, 100% free shipping, and get it fast with rush processing. Code P-A-W-P-A-W. Goodbye, sweeties.
This is a HeadGum Podcast.
Dungeon, 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 dungeon,
dungeon,
dungeon,
dungeon, dungeon, dungeon.
Welcome to Dungeon Court, everybody.
Dungeon!
We are your Supreme Crit Justices, Murphy, Axford, and Tanner, joined by the lowly Bailiff Jake Hurwitz.
Three is nice,
you know. A triumvirate.
Yeah.
Yeah. I feel like that was a professional snubbing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
It felt right.
It was biting a little bit.
Yeah. The father, yeah. Son, the holy goof. That's you.
Cool.
Well, take it away.
Yeah, sure. I thought we were going to spend more time insulting me, but yeah. Hear ye, crit is now in session. The Honorable Supreme Crit Justices, Axford, Murphy, and Tanner presiding.
You were just waiting for us to make fun of you.
Waiting with bated breath. Please, please go in on me.
Usually I'm more aggressively bullied up top as all.
Smiling and nodding, waiting for us to yell at him.
Are you sure you want to leave it at that? My feelings aren't that hurt yet.
Just three lowlies this time, sir.
Our first case comes from Austin B. Austin writes, "To the esteemed judges and the nearly adequate bailiff," there it is, "I bring the story that got me deemed TPK extraordinaire."
Ooh.
"We had just started the campaign, and I had warned my players that I was playing this campaign purely by the book."
Okay.
"After a few days of dino races and jewel market heists,"
great,
"the party braved the jungle and rolled a velociraptor ambush on the random encounter table."
Mm.
"Two D6 raptors ended up being 11 raptors." Ooh. "To fight."
Whoa! Whoa. Okay.
Very feasible.
Murph,
Can we get a check on that? Can you do the math in your head?
Yeah.
Is that possible on 2D6?
I'm going to do the math in my head. That's one lower than the possible one. Yeah, that can happen.
I mean, what are the chances of rolling 11 on 2D6?
Decent. Pretty good.
Really?
Pretty awesome.
Really? Pretty solid. I bet a 3 would be more likely.
Yeah.
And what are the chances of those raptors rolling a nat 20 for the stealth check with a surprise round?
Although, hang on. Now that I'm doing the math in my head at the craps table, 11 is hard to get, I think, right?
But so is 3.
Double snake eyes.
Murph's eyes have rolled back in his head, Mintat style. He's taken so much spice melange.
Left his body and gone to Vegas.
I'm trying to be clever, but I was editing the episode last night, so I don't have it there.
Oh, that's why you weren't that mean to me.
Yeah, that's true. I had nothing to say. I don't know, Jake. Read the case. Anyway,
go on. All right, so the raptors nat 20 the stealth check for the surprise round and rolled higher initiative than the players.
Uh-oh.
Adding in pack tactics and multi-attacks, this resulted in the players taking 44 attacks at advantage before they even had a round to respond.
Sweet. Oh my God, I love it.
The party, remember the name TPK extraordinaire, the party was immediately eviscerated. The Loxodon assassin rocks. Never even got the opportunity to say his catchphrase. Guess you didn't see the elephant in the room.
That's not bad.
We rolled new PCs and the campaign ended up being super fun, but this still gets brought up regularly. Was I right to play by the book and let the TPK happen, or should I have added DM shenanigans to give them a chance? I await your judgment.
The only thing you could have done is made the all of the raptors roll individually for stealth, all 11.
Yeah.
But I mean, this is just so funny. That, I guess it is really I could funny. See myself as the DM rolling a nat 20 and being like, all right, one of them gets that, and then I'll roll for the rest of them.
I do understand creatures of the same type, like generally you do put them in the same place in initiative, but I do think when you're dealing with huge numbers of enemies,
that's what I'm saying,
you should split them up. I don't think the book says that. I think technically you were right.
By the book. By the book.
11 raptors go first.
Rolled as a block.
I also, this was a rather delightful story to hear, so I don't know, like, they didn't say TPK loser. They said TPK extraordinaire. You're extraordinary. Right.
You're the TP king.
Yeah, I'm not sure which module this is. Forgive us for not being as familiar with modules, because obviously we don't use them.
Sorry, we do a little thing called homebrew on the show.
We do a thing called homebrew.
Can I just point out that I actually am really bothered by the 11 raptors?
Really?
It just feels insane for like
to not notice 11
raptors. No. There's nothing logistic. It's the fact that it's 11 and not 12 or 10. So it's like a number, like, how did you guys roll up together? You didn't all come in one car, because no car seats 11.
Right.
Like, why are you guys rolling with 11? Someone must have died. Were you 12. Yeah. Who did you lose?
Were they like paired off? Was it like two,
that's
two, and
thinking.
10, and then there's like one at
in
the
which
end?
Case you roll
there's a little
was,
cute one at the
it
end.
Was a, or it was a kindergarten, and there was a teacher, and then they were all buddies.
That makes sense. Right. Okay, 10 students and one teacher showing them
that
how
puts
to murder.
Us at ease. That puts us at ease.
I actually feel a lot better now. I think you did nothing wrong. That it was a
We're gonna need a full retrial, because we need to know if one of the raptors was wearing cat eye glasses and a sweater
and a Miss Frizzle cardigan.
This wasn't a magic school bus. Were these children that had been transformed into raptors to learn about the prehistoric times?
That makes the 11 make sense.
It makes sense. It makes so much sense.
I'm a little bit more familiar with like their earlier modules, like Strahd and stuff, as I've like leafed through them and everything. And I know that Strahd is pretty notorious for. Somebody went into the wrong room by themselves and they're level two and there was a vampire spawn in there. Yeah, and that's just something that can happen with modules, because you're just looking at the book and it's just in this room, there's a vampire.
Yeah.
You know, so it is like they rolled on the random encounter table and it's 2d6 raptors, which is
which like,
can be two or can be 12. That is wild.
Yeah. That's a lot.
Yeah.
I can't imagine just like that. Gives me a headache having to keep track of that many enemies in one go.
40,
and not just like blocking them into a swarm or something like that. God.
44 attacks.
44 attacks.
44 attacks is so by the book.
God bless you for sitting there and rolling all
there is
of
something,
that.
Yeah. There is something very fun though about specifically doing it completely by the book, because that does feel pretty real in just that. No, there are just 11 raptors here.
Yeah.
And I'm now, sorry. There's nothing we could do
about
it.
They're not going to spare you just because you guys did a jewel heist the other day.
And now all your party is like, they're going to make new characters, but they're also just going to have a deep ingrained vendetta against raptors.
Yeah.
And there's 11 vicious raptors roaming your earth.
Vicious kindergarten. Garden raptors wearing the clothes of a bunch of humans.
Here's a little wrinkle though. Here's a little wrinkle.
Should be wrinkles.
There's
the
a
fact
wrinkle.
That I love this is
I've got
illogical.
One. I've got a wrinkle. So I assume it has to say in the module that the this was the random encounter table. Okay, I think I found a big wrinkle.
Holy shit.
Yeah, because...
Send him back to the cleaners.
Yeah.
Get the dryer ready.
Because the raptor...
You got to turn the dryer... Plug the dryer in.
Yeah,
get your steamer out,
Murph. We got it. Guys.
Steamer!
I need a
steamer, bro.
Get it out. Keep going. Turn
I'm
on the shower.
Out. I'm taking
turn
out
on
my
the
shower.
Turn on the fucking shower. Hang the shirts near it. We got wrinkles.
Are you sure
it's
not a pleat?
Yeah.
If it's a pleat, okay. Fucking done. Crease their ass, Murph.
Crease their ass.
Well, pleat is supposed to be there. So let's find out if it's a wrinkle. Or a pleat
could be decorative. Is it a wrinkle or a
there's
pleat?
Nothing
you
else
have to
go.
Decide.
A pleat is intentional.
Okay. No, what I was going to say is, okay.
Pleats by design.
I think this is not completely by the book, right? Because they said that they rolled a nat 20 on their stealth check to sneak up on them, right?
Right. Yeah.
Uh-huh. Is that correct?
Yes.
That was added. You don't have to have the raptor tactics of Nat 20. It's like a random encounter, right? So did the, I mean, I guess technically, would a raptor sneak up on their prey? Probably.
Yeah, they absolutely would. They absolutely, haven't you seen
Jurassic
Park?
Right, yeah, when they go through the tall grass? Yeah.
Sure. Mm-hmm. Okay.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
I will say you maybe went a step too far when you decided to have the 11 raptors stealth
all
up on your
party. 20.
Yeah.
You could have a raptor group A and raptor group B and then teacher raptor.
But I guess if you're going by the book.
The teacher gets the nat 20.
Yeah.
The kids are all too loud and bumbling though.
I still don't know if that's a wrinkle. That could just be a linen shirt that's kind of designed to be a little wavy.
I think it's a wrinkle because it's not saying like, oh, you go into this room and there's this many enemies there or whatever, and they will try to sneak up on the party if they can. It's just a random encounter. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. They run into 11 raptors. There are a lot of different ways to interpret that.
Yeah.
Like you see some of them and then more come out of the bushes, or a couple of them pounce on you while a couple other are like surrounding you or something like that. And this DM chose to have all 11 sneak up on them
but at the same time they probably didn't expect I'm gonna get a nat 20 on the stealth. They probably were like, they're gonna sneak up on you and a couple people will get before them. But
I will say the one area that you had, if you were doing everything by the book, you rolled an 11, you've got 11 raptors, the one area you could have given leeway is to not have them all sneaking up on your party, to have it truly be an encounter where they happen upon, you know.
Oh, they're feasting on something else. Maybe they surprise.
Right. You know, because that part is left up to interpretation. I guess if you're playing raptors to the top of their intelligence,
which they are intelligent.
Up,
but Murphy, even I have seen Jurassic Park.
Yeah.
Have you seen Jurassic Park?
Yes, I've seen Jurassic
Park.
Name
one character from
Muldoon.
It's a Spielberg movie. It's pretty good. So there's an island.
Yeah.
Do you know like a T-Rex?
Do you know a T-Rex?
Have you ever seen? I think so. Have you ever seen Seinfeld?
Yeah.
Do you know the mailman?
I know Newman's there.
Yeah.
Yeah. Do you know two characters from Seinfeld, Emily? Let's flip this around.
I don't think I'm the one who's on trial here.
You surely can name two characters.
I don't know that we should start my trial till yours is concluded.
Murph, this is gatekeeping, man. This is not good.
I'll give you one. Seinfeld. That's one. Who's another one?
Elaine.
There you go. Okay.
Nice.
Wow.
Yeah, I don't know. I do think that like the one area you could have had leeway was to just, you know, it's an encounter. So the encounter can happen any way you want and you decided to hunt your players.
But I think that
was a little bit of a choice. I don't know that that's completely by the book.
I will say though, to be the book devil's advocate here.
Sure.
I do think that like when you see those little like blocks, those little caption blocks that'll like tell you like what's supposed to happen in this room, it will say like raptors ambush the party.
Ambush.
Roll a stealth check.
It specifically said random encounter. They rolled that on a random encounter.
But the random encounter could have said
ambush.
2d6 raptors ambush.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm going to say it was just a little wrinkle anyway, and that is a good point.
Yeah.
And it might have been a pleat.
I think the
it was a pleat.
Wait, okay,
if
a pleat is good.
If the random encounter...
I got the analogy now.
Ambush, then it's a pleat.
Okay, so a pleat
a wrinkle by design.
A wrinkle that it looks like
That's
a wrinkle,
beautiful.
But it's actually good. I get it. Okay.
Pleats are wrinkles by design.
Great.
That's a weird sign hanging in your laundromat.
I'm going to start a fashion company. And actually, I'm just going to start a store that you can come to get a pleat put into something you're wearing.
Oh, that's great.
Just like in the middle
we'll
of a
pleat
shirt.
Any-
you get a pleat on the back so it looks like you've got like a little dinosaur ridge.
You could call it pleat.
I'm pleading with you guys to move on. All right.
Pleat your case is what it's called.
Everyone shut the fuck up.
It's going to be a pop-up shop.
Are we siding
Ooh,
with
I
the
love
DM
a pop-up.
Here? We are, right?
We can sentence them to work my first pop-up. Wait, who are we even sentencing?
We're sentencing the players because we think that it was fine that they were killed by raptors.
I think
It wasn't a wrinkle. It was a pleat. And that's why they will be working at the pleat
store. They'll be working at the pleat store.
Yeah. Right, yeah. Uh-huh.
Which is a pop-up in an abandoned mall.
Yeah, a dangerous abandoned mall.
There are coyotes there. You got to be careful.
Yeah, you got
to
watch
out. Unless they want something pleated, in which case you need to be courteous.
I love it. This mall has been I am legended.
What would you do if you just saw a coyote with some pleated jeans on? I'd be so scared.
Right? Yeah, I'd be threatened because it would. That's like raptor level intelligence on a coyote.
Yeah. I think you ate someone and you took their jeans
and then you put on their jeans.
Yeah, you were this coyote was smart enough to realize it had privates. Yeah, to cover them.
It knows shame.
Right, it knows shame or it knows fashion. One of the two.
I would just imagine it being a more presentable version of when like an animal with horns like gets into a fight with another animal.
Yeah,
and the animal's like head is on its horns or something like that, and like
that right. happens.
Yeah,
I mean I've seen one video of it.
So I mean, one video is enough.
Yeah.
So pleaded. Our next case is from Charmy. Charmy writes, to the righteous justices and that guy who I think was on 8-Bit Book Club once.
Have you?
Oh, interesting.
Has he been on?
We should have him on.
I would love to be on.
We just had Adam and it was really fun to have him.
I was there. Yeah. I think maybe I got edited out of the final episode.
That's what it was, yeah.
But I was.
We had to send it to like a very good audio engineer to remove you.
It would take so long to edit Jake out of 8-Bit Book Club.
Including the laughs.
Although I guess there would be long moments of silence when Adam was talking about the lore of the Koopaling. Jake doesn't have much to weigh in there.
Well, I was listening in reverence.
Yeah.
I submit to you this case from an online campaign a few years ago, which still frustrates me to this day.
Oh, wow.
I was playing Path of the Totem Warrior Barbarian, cool. which includes the ability to speak with animals as a ritual at level 3.
Okay.
At one point on our travels, we encountered some horses at the roadside that were freaking out. I decided to cast Speak with Animals to ask the horses what was going on.
Perfect use.
I'm sorry, this is insane. However, the DM ruled that, quote, animals can't speak and that all I could get was a sense of how they felt.
This is the DM panicking that they don't know what to do for a horse. Just absolutely shitting themselves.
I'm homebrewing Speak with Animals to speak to animals. You have the ability to, after 10 minutes of
say
ritual,
whatever you can
talk to animals. You can talk to animals.
Yeah, they'll listen. They just can't respond.
There is a more elegant way if this DM had been quicker on their feet. Could have been, they're not like speaking to you in full sentences, but you get a sense. They say danger, and they say there are a group of people that are attacking them or something like
Jurassic
that.
Jurassic Park.
Yeah, like you could, I don't know, speak almost out of character if you're afraid to do, I don't know, like a silly voice or something.
Yeah, you didn't want to be Mr. Ed.
The DM was definitely afraid to do the noise with their mouth.
I mean, honestly, I am too.
Right.
So the DM ruled that, quote, animals can't speak.
True.
And that all I could get was a sense of how they felt. Okay. He then said, I could tell that they were very scared. This was pretty obvious without the spell. We ended up being attacked by harpies, which is what had scared the horses in the first place. I pointed out that having speak with animals was a subclass feature and that there had been no mention of it not working in this world and that I would have created my character differently if I had known this ability would be rendered useless.
Yeah.
The DM would not relent, and I spent the rest of the campaign never trying to talk to animals again.
Aww.
Mission accomplished, DM.
Yeah, this DM was playing it by the book, just a different book.
Ruined your player's sense of wonder. Mission accomplished.
Right.
Eventually, I left the campaign for a number of reasons, including my nerfed character. However, I still wonder if the DM had any standing to rule that a spell did not work in his world, especially after character creation.
Zero whatsoever.
Yeah, I have tried to negotiate something.
It's not a game-breaking spell. It is literally a spell that helps the DM tell their story.
Yeah, so wild.
I think.
Why did the DM take a fantasy world and just make it a little bit more like here?
Yeah.
I'll talk to the horse. No. Actually, now they can't talk. Animals can't talk.
And in fact, you guys, your taxes are all due.
It's a lot like the world you're trying to escape, actually.
I'm using a zoo book, not the DM's guide.
Maybe if you were talking to a scarlet macaw, you'd have a better chance of getting a little and it
says
speech
right,
out.
It says right here that horses cannot speak. Yeah, this is weird. I could see, I don't know, if you wanted to play a low magic campaign or something like that, but that's decided before character creation.
Yeah, you gotta make that clear. And if you're going to say it doesn't work, then you got to be like, hey, I'm so sorry for that curveball. What can we do instead that will be fun for you to do?
Yeah,
because right now you have a feature.
This is really funny. I didn't know what a harpy was.
It's a bird.
It's a bird.
A horse would know what a fucking bird is.
It's a half man, half bird.
Yeah.
It's a bird with a guy's head. For sure. So it's so funny to be like, horses can't speak. Anyway, here's a bird with a man head that's going to attack you.
Yeah, I think if you wanted to be like, oh, they don't communicate exactly the same as us. Uh-huh. Like I said, you could kind of explain it out of character or something like that. But the horse could communicate monsters, giant monsters in the sky.
Easily.
Birds that look like you, you know, like there'd be a way for them to do it in a way that didn't completely give it away.
Right.
My read on the situation is the DM wanted to do an ambush and wanted to, you know, like seed it. And then once you could talk to the horses, realized that their ambush was going to be ruined. But it's you just got to take a moment. You got to take a breath and then you let the character shine, you know?
Even if the horse just says, look out!
Yeah. that is what kind of...
That's really good.
There's no danger here.
All right, I think that's pretty clean and simple.
Yeah.
This DM is getting sentenced.
Yeah, about, this DM's got to make pleated pants
for harpies.
Horses.
Yeah.
For harpies.
Right now, they only fit coyotes.
Wow.
Yeah, true.
Yeah, let's harpies is going to be like next level. Let's start with horses.
Yeah. Okay, you got to stretch coyote jeans.
Pleated pants. Stretching coyote. And coyotes wear skinny jeans, too.
They wear skinny jeans.
They have to because they got to run all the time. And horses run all the time, too. So skinny jeans are going to work, but you're going to have to really stretch them.
They're stuck in 2014.
Well, they're going to need like an athlete cut because their legs are so buff.
They need boot cut.
Yeah, they need... Wait, they need the opposite of boot cut.
The horses need a boot
hoof
cut.
Hoof cut. They need a hoof cut.
Hoof cut. Yeah.
Thick at the top.
Like that's a Clydesdale.
Yeah.
Flared.
Yeah.
Wait, no. Isn't it the opposite of flared? Wouldn't bell flared bottoms. Be like bell bottoms?
Yeah.
No. They're thick at the top. They're like an athletic cut.
That's an athletic cut.
Yeah. You guys don't know shit about jeans, okay?
Sorry, I've never been to Horse Gap, man.
You guys don't know shit about horse jeans. Horses need an athletic cut. They don't need a bell bottom.
Horses need to show off that thick behind.
Yes,
also accommodate their.
But they're not even gonna. It's not even gonna fit if they don't have an athletic cut. God,
right? They have beefier quads, huge glutes, and tiny little ankles.
Jake knows.
Ankles.
Jake knows.
No, but their shoes are big.
What?
Their shoes are big.
They're not that big.
Yeah.
Their feet are bigger than their legs.
Right. That's what cut actually might make
their
a lot
hooves?
Of sense.
Yeah. Keep going. Yeah, what do you mean?
Hooves.
What do you mean their hooves?
They need a nice little bell bottom.
I mean, don't get me wrong. It would be cute if a bell bottom just completely hit the horse's hooves. But their feet aren't that big. They're really little, kind of.
Right, but you want to give them a little
comparison.
Room.
You ever seen a Clydesdale?
I mean, yes, they're big.
That's a bell bottom.
Okay, yeah, that's true.
The Clydesdale's
like
wearing bell
They
bottoms.
Have a natural bell bottom, all right? I understand.
What Emily's getting
I get
at,
it. I'll take the tiny L. I'll take the tiny L. They're already wearing bell bottoms, so perhaps they should wear a bell bottom. But they need an athletic cut bell bottom. Can we agree on that?
Yes, absolutely.
That's just the ugliest thing I've ever heard.
Yeah.
Yes, that's why it's only a tiny L.
Take the tiny L that they should be bell bottoms because Clydesdales do have natural bell bottoms.
All right, Wrangler, get on it.
Yeah.
Okay.
So pleaded. Craig M. writes.
Wait, Jake, actually, I have an interjection if that's okay.
Yeah.
Of course, yeah, you're a justice.
Some old business from last episode that I need to bring up.
Okay, bring it up.
Emily had an ardent desire for a bucket hat.
Yeah.
And you know what? I don't know how we feel in this court about giving gifts.
Oh my god, a bucket
gifts.
Hat is like a bell bottom for the head.
Are you you're
oh
buying
god.
Wait, Justice
oh my god!
Oxford?
Oh my god!
It's a frog bucket hat.
Wow. Oh my God, there's a chin strap. Oh, no, there's not. There's okay. not. There's not.
We have to describe it. This is an audio medium. Yeah. It's a frog bucket hat.
Wow, it looks really good.
It is cute.
I was worried it wouldn't fit.
Yeah.
Because it is for a child.
It does fit it fits perfectly.
If it's re- looks it really does, fucking good.
It does fit
I guess
way
I have a fucking teeny tiny ass brain.
Murph, why are you getting so upset?
Ev's brain is so small.
I feel like Murph is steaming.
I'm
right
not
now.
Steaming. It's my She's looking at me like I'm gonna be mad. I'm not
No,
mad.
I'm looking at you like I'm trying to give you erotic eyes.
Oh my God. Get
Whoa.
Out of here.
From both my eyes and the frog's eyes that are yeah. on top of my body.
Yeah. Which ones are you gonna look at, Murph?
The frog's eyes are vacant.
but
in
so
a sexy way.
Yeah.
All Nothing's right. hotter than being absentee.
Yeah. When I put my bucket hat on, my eyes become vacant.
All right.
It squeezes your brain a little bit.
All right, let's move on.
I honestly don't know if I can. Yeah. I'm so distracted. May it please the esteemed justices and Jay Dollar, I bring okay. you a case of wrongful death. I ran a campaign for my friends of 15 plus years. Mm-hmm. One player was a warforged warlock who had escaped a mind flayer ship.
Cool.
He was disguising Fine. Himself as a human while on the lam. The party was suspicious but unaware of the truth. The mind flayer threat loomed in the campaign, and after a tough combat, things came to a head. While traveling on a 15-foot tall elk, the party demanded the truth.
Whoa.
The Warforged, rather than do a classic reveal, instead cast disguised self to look like a mind flayer. The party immediately attacked, and I called for initiative to keep things orderly. The Warforged was knocked out in one hit. I asked if they stopped his body from falling off the elk, and they said no.
Ooh.
He fell and lost a death save from the damage. His turn was next, and he rolled a nat one, instantly dying.
Oh, no.
The player feels this death was unjustified. The rest of us feel he should not have made himself look like a mind flayer and then rolled a nat one. Where does justice fall on the matter?
People, I think this goes back to the other DM of mm-hmm. just people just need to collaborate more.
Yeah.
This player clearly had some grand idea in their head of the exact moment that they were going to have their badass reveal.
Mm-hmm.
And when pressed... just absolutely went rogue and it just didn't work. I don't know.
Do you think they were trying to like tell a story through faces? They were going to be like mind flayer. And then I was captured. I worked for the mind flayers, but this is who I really am. Like a theater. They wanted to put on like a full show.
I get the sense yeah. that they were doing sort of like a lone badass. Like you don't get to hear my backstory until later when there's the mm-hmm. real reveal. And this was like, stay away from me. You know,
yeah.
I think
yeah,
this was
yeah.
a hiss. I think this was a hiss.
Yeah.
Ah.
And then the players just attacked.
Do you think the players knew, like, did they know the backstory at the table? And they're kind of like, well, our characters don't know yet, so we're going to let all this come out.
It's always a tough spot at the table when, for metagaming reasons, you know that the other person is lying to you.
Yeah.
And then
yeah.
you kind of just have to play dumb. I hope that the players didn't know, that way they wouldn't have to play dumb, but you're putting yourself in a position where everyone else at the table has to pretend that they don't know information that they do know.
Or they even could just be like, okay, something more is going on with this other character that I'm in a group with, like, hey, you, like, what's going on? Just let us in or whatever. Like,
yeah.
it's gonna yeah. be more fun if we're kind of doing this together, and right now it doesn't feel like that. And then they're just like, no, I'm a mind flayer. I'm your worst nightmare.
It's amazing. That last line, I'm a mind flayer. I'm your worst nightmare to falling off an elk and dying.
just so cracking funny. Your head on the ground and just
Oh, shit, elk.
yeah, you would never understand the truth.
just from so magical to such a realistic death.
Yeah.
yeah, you just fell so hard and died. That's just too real.
It's also like, I don't know, I've played in campaigns where like somebody takes 20 minutes to figure out what spell they're going to use and the DM is having to walk them through like all the things they
yeah.
can do. Like,
yeah.
it's okay to like break the immersion temporarily
yeah.
for the DM to be like, what are you trying to do here?
Yeah.
Like, even if you need to like take a break and like take them to another room.
Turning into a mind flayer is such a strange move. My only assumption is that it was a hiss, right?
This was yeah. a hiss. Mm-hmm.
This was a back off. You know?
Right. Unless, again, they have Mask of Many Faces. They're a warlock. They were going to like do like multiple reveals. It's like, but you know, why? The mind flare, they, and then that melts away.
That's even worse than what did happen.
It's poetry. It's facial poetry.
The hiss really is the funny. Only thing that makes a little bit of sense.
Or like, yeah, like just like a panicked, hostile move. Yeah. It was a hiss. Mm-hmm.
So I imagine this player is being that kind of edgy rogue character, but as a warlock, of being just like, you'll never understand. Everybody stay away. So they want to do like a round of PvP so that they can be badasses.
Yeah.
And then, you know, go away and then come back later and be like, you'll never understand me.
Yeah.
You know? But instead, they just fell off a horse.
I think also, like, no matter their intent behind it, they turned into a hostile opponent that the group had encountered before, correct?
And they accidentally killed them, you know, rolling a nat falling off the elk, and then just rolling a one is such bad luck.
I think we sentenced the warlock.
Yeah, I think we got to sentence the warlock. I think, you know what? Yeah. Actually, you know what? Let's try a generous read here, okay?
Oh, okay.
So I do think...
I think Caldwell gave the generous read.
Yeah,
right. Well, I tried to like put myself in the less generous read.
Mask of Many Faces theater.
But yeah.
Why?
Maybe it's very popular in certain cultures in this magical world. Whoa. Do Mask of Many Faces theater.
Right.
Yeah.
I would go and see that. That'd be cool.
It's a one-man show.
Yeah.
I think the Warforged might have been trying to do like charades. Like, they're like, what's your deal? Where are you from? And he's like,
let me show you. Yeah.
And then he became the mind flayer to kind of put on
the
show.
I think realistically it was a hiss. Because if they had been, then they might have said, wait, I'm trying to show you something.
Right. There is a world where the other players could have been hounding this person a little bit and they didn't want to reveal their backstory yet. Mm-hmm. But I guess if you are playing in a campaign where the Mind Flayers are the main enemies and people can be taken over and there are like secrets and stuff, if you are keeping like a secret from the party, there is a reason for, especially in a situation with mind control, that you could be suspicious of other people in the party. There is a chance that the players were going off on the Warforged, you know, by like badgering them or something like that.
I feel like you have to say, if you turn into a mind flayer, the big threat in your campaign, you are wanting to be attacked. You're absolutely provoking a fight. They wanted the fight. They didn't want the result of this fight.
Yes.
Which I think ultimately... that was up to the dice.
Yeah.
Yeah. It is true that the DM like called for initiative. So there were like moments during this where the Warforged could have been like, well, that's not exactly what I was thinking here.
Yeah, exactly.
So the fact that it went to initiative does make me think that like, the Warforged maybe wanted to fight and did not want Mask of Many Faces theater.
If it was like, I don't want my backstory to come out yet, I feel like this isn't the medium for that. This isn't the medium where you craft how you want your narrative to go.
That's true.
This is the medium where you collaborate with a table and find out what happens. So I think that if you're trying to delay revealing something, then you got to give them a little something.
Yes.
You know, give them a nugget and say, well, this has been going on.
Also, on the back of an elk, that sounds like a great place for your backstory to come out.
You're
traveling, you're riding a majestic elk. Instead,
15 foot.
Fall over and get trampled.
Yeah. I mean, if you do want to be cool and mysterious, you could just look off pensively and you could be like, I can tell you for sure I'm not a mind flayer.
I've
got my reasons to hide.
I mean, like,
and then turn into a mind flayer.
And then you turn into a mind flayer and fall off.
They kind of got their wish, though, because, like, after they fall and die, Mask of Many Faces is going to lift, and they're going to find out that it was a Warforged.
So maybe
now they've just got this, like, broken pile of metal that they can lug around.
They wanted to guilt the other players by having them murder their character.
Okay, so are we ruling against the Warforged?
I believe so.
Yeah.
Okay.
The Warforged.
They have to make elk dockers with seats.
How about that? Try and catch the elk to put it on.
Yeah.
Aren't they notoriously fast?
Oh yeah,
I think so. Yeah,
they can gallop.
Yeah,
and it's already felled him once.
This is going to be our new charity that everyone's going to get really mad about.
Dockers for elks,
just wildlife pants.
wildlife pants.
I like the specificity of dockers for elks.
Bringing a human chastity to the natural world.
Animals have been nude for too long.
Hi, I'm Caldwell Tanner of NADPOD.
And I actually think elks are pretty cold.
When you start raising children and go to the zoo, you might bump up against
it. Here's the thing. If you're cold, they're cold.
Wow.
Put some pants on them.
Wow. Mm-hmm.
I don't want my daughter seeing elk nuts every time she goes to the zoo.
suit. Chimp asses are disgusting. They should wear pants.
Yeah, it's true. They really should. Or a reverse apron, at least.
A cape. I think they'd be okay with
a
that.
Cape
I like, this,
so
I like the specificity of Dockers because it is just specifically one brand.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's clearly like a collab.
Hi. Yeah, it's absolutely.
This is Culver from Nadpod. We've teamed up with Dockers.
Nad X Dockers.
You might be thinking, did we make pants for humans? Maybe there's a Nadpod logo on it. No. These pants are going straight.
We've shot wild elk with tranquilizer darts and then put Dockers on them while they were unconscious. If you see an elk in Dockers,
you can thank us.
It's been wildly unsuccessful and we're looking for a belt company to collab with and another round of trank.
Yes, we're hemorrhaging money and we're looking for an aqua-hire situation.
We need to invent a rougher twill. They're rubbing off the pants on trees.
Okay, so it's a Docker collab, pants for elks. Yeah, good luck and Godspeed.
Yeah.
Hey there, Nadpoles. This episode is brought to you by Aura Frames. Are you looking for the perfect gift to celebrate the moms in your life? Well, look no further. Aura Frames are the beautiful Wi-Fi connected digital picture frames that allow you to share and display unlimited photos. It's super easy to upload and share photos via the Aura app. And if you're giving an Aura as a gift, you can even personalize the frame with preloaded photos and memories. My mom, my mother-in-law, and my grandmother-in-law all have Auras from me and they love them. So from grandmothers to new mothers, aunts, and even the friends in your life, every mom loves an Aura frame. Named the best digital photo frame by Wirecutter and selected as one of Oprah's favorite things. Trademark, brother. Aura frames are guaranteed to bring joy to moms of all ages. They're easy to set up. They are the perfect gift and they've got unlimited storage, unlimited photos and videos. You can invite as many people as you want to a frame. There are absolutely no hidden fees or subscriptions. How beautiful is that? And right now, Aura has a great deal for Mother's Day. Listeners can save on the perfect gift by visiting AuraFrames.com to get $30 off plus free shipping on their best-selling frame. That is Aura, A-U-R-A, Frames.com. Use the code PAWPAW at checkout to save. Terms and conditions apply. Thank you, everybody. Hey there, Nadpoles. This episode is brought to you by Squarespace. Squarespace is the all-in-one website platform for entrepreneurs to stand out and succeed online. Whether you're just starting out or managing a growing brand, Squarespace makes it easy to create a beautiful website, engage with your audience, and sell anything from products to content all in one place and all on your terms, folks. They've got beautiful templates and easy drag and drop tools. You can make a portfolio, you can make a blog, you can make a web series over there. You can do anything you want and you can do it all on Squarespace. So head on over to squarespace.com for a free trial. And when you're ready to launch, go to squarespace.com/pawpaw to save 10% on your first order of a website or domain. That is squarespace.com/pawpaw to save 10% on your first purchase of a website or domain. squarespace.com/pawpaw. Thank you, everybody. Our next case comes from Daniel B. If it may please the court to the honorable justices and the equally honorable bailiff. That's right.
Wow. Okay. How did that feel? Walk us through how that feels to read, Jake.
It felt like I was, you know, putting it in Murph's face a little bit. I felt really good.
You thought that was a tiny W for Jake and his lovers.
Tiny W. Look at this guy actually thinks I'm as good, not better, but as good as you guys. That's good.
A tiny W kind of looks like little vampire fangs.
Oh, cute.
See, that's a little hiss.
I bring you the case of the undersold risk of death.
Okay.
I play in a game with my three siblings. My older brother is the DM. Over 2 years ago, at the start of the campaign, he told us outside of city walls at night, it is dangerous and full of horrors. That first year of the campaign, the focus on my character was trying to free an NPC comrade, Sir Aiden, from prison before he was executed. Our party pulled off a lot of challenges and we successfully freed him. Shortly after, our party was forced to temporarily part from Sir Aiden due to an urgent side quest, with him leaving to another town just 10 miles away and him setting out in the morning. Mm. We planned for us to catch up once the side quest was completed. I asked if we could make our way to meet with Sir Aiden, and my brother, DM, said, yeah, if he made it out there alive. He then said that he told us, at the start of the campaign that anywhere outside of the walls was dangerous. I protested and said he described the journey as low risk and didn't allude at all about a risk to Sir Aiden. Also, Sir Aiden voiced no concern with splitting up.
Yeah.
My DM was unmoved and said it will come down to the rolls. I asked the honorable justices, was I wrong to forget the warning given over a year prior? Or was my brother wrong to fail to allude to the risk to Sir Aiden? Does Sir Aiden deserve an off-screen death after a year of trials to save his life? I humbly await your verdict. P.S. We still don't know the fate of Sir Aiden.
Oh, my God.
Wow. Got to get an update there. But this is definitely a situation where as a DM, you just get like lost in your own stew a little bit because like you're very aware of like what's outside the walls, but
like,
your players
everyone
don't.
Knows, yeah, of course.
Mm-hmm. Right. But yes, the player here makes a good point, which is Sir Aiden would probably know
that
if there was danger
was
or something.
Mm-hmm.
Like Sir Aiden would presumably know what was up and would be like, all right, I should probably wait until... Well, he left in the morning, right?
Right, yeah.
Sir Aiden left in the morning.
It's a multi-day journey.
10 miles. 10 miles, you can cover that in a day.
Yeah. Could
certainly.
You? Could you, Jake?
Yeah.
Yeah, you could.
Yeah?
Because
yeah.
I could walk a mile in 20 minutes.
That's true.
Yeah, okay. You could definitely walk 10 miles in a day.
Yeah. Whoa, holy shit. Let's all go do it.
Did you try to big dog me that I couldn't walk 10 miles?
It would be like, yeah, a tough hike, but Jake could do it. Yeah.
Let's go, man.
Yeah. Let's
just
do it.
He just does it easily. We just have a nice day.
Could Jake possibly walk less than a half marathon?
I don't believe it.
Fuck, he did it and we had a nice picnic afterwards. God
he did
damn it.
He did it. He's pretty tired because it's a lot.
He got home in time for an early dinner.
Yeah. See,
this is what I want to introduce is just big dogging your friends like this. Is like you just like present a very realistic challenge and have a nice day.
Yeah.
But it's presented in antagonistic terms.
Right. Whoa. You challenged me to just get a lot of steps in, really.
Yeah.
There's no way you could get on a boat and go skiing with me. Dude, absolutely no way.
I also think that if this DM wants the outside world to be a threat, then that should have been an undercurrent amongst everyone who lives in this place.
Yeah.
And so Sir Aiden would have been all about that.
Mm-hmm.
Sir Aiden is from this place.
Yeah.
Right?
Sir Aiden would have been the perfect example in time to reiterate the dangers outside the walls. Because like as a DM, you kind of sometimes have to like recirculate ideas like that.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. If it's been a while since you've like mentioned it.
Yeah.
I mean, that's just good storytelling.
Mm-hmm.
Like even if it's not DMing, that's just how you tell a story. Sir Aiden's going to go and the journey's going to be dangerous.
I think this DM could have had their cake and eat it too by just being like, all right, Sir Aiden thinks this is really important. It's going to be a little bit dangerous, but he really wants to go now. And maybe he does a persuasion check. And like, you could have realistically done that.
I think your brother also forgot the warning that he gave.
Because
in the moment, really that's an easy time to do it.
Yeah.
And then he remembered as he's prepping for the next session. Mm-hmm. He's like, oh, yeah. It's really dangerous outside.
Oh, cool. I'll just have coyotes and dockers attack Sir Aiden. Awesome. This
fuck,
is
they're
great.
Karate kicking him. They're puss in bootsing it. They're walking on bipedal motion.
Holy shit. Chinos have stretch?
Here's a question.
Yeah. Mm.
I'm going to bring something up to the court. What about, are we charging this DM with future crime?
That's true.
Oh, we precogging them,
right?
Precogs?
We can't precog. I don't have any milk.
Are we in precog milk right now? Are we acting like we have precog milk right now?
Are we big cogging?
Because here's the question. Has this DM just doing smoke and mirrors? Is this DM just tricking their player into thinking that there's danger when there isn't necessarily danger?
We also don't know the roles. Maybe the DM is like, he's doing it really safely, but on a nat one, he could get into trouble.
Totally.
Do you think this is like M. Night Shyamalan's The Village?
I haven't seen that.
There's some different things that could happen to Sir Aiden too. Like roles could mean like he got into trouble and fought his way out.
Yeah.
I would disagree if it's like, I'm going to roll basically a death save for Sir Aiden to see if he's dead or alive.
Yeah.
That's not cool.
Yeah.
But if it's like, the woods are dangerous. Here's like some of the adventures that Sir Aiden got into. And now you're roped up in that too.
Totally.
That's interesting.
Okay. So we can't ask the court
in on this. I'm going to play it on both sides. So I'm going to say that's my most generous read that I can give to the DM is that the DM is just putting up a smoke screen and just keeping their players engaged, which is interesting.
Yeah.
However, it isn't the best storytelling, and it is frustrating for players to dangle something that dangle essentially a quest that they've already completed and be like, hey, that quest might have been useless.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, if if this is like a Lord of the Rings type quest and you guys have a MacGuffin that you were trying to get, and then I have a trusted NPC be like, thanks for getting that, I'll hang on to it for the night. And then you guys go out for a fight and I'm like, that guy might not have hung on to it.
Yeah.
And that's where we'll end our session. Yeah. It's like, well, we just spent hours trying to get it. The person, we rolled an inside check said it was fine. What
Sir
the fuck?
Adrian right. went to the airport and he lost the one ring.
Yeah. So I will say like most generous rate I can give is DM's doing a smoke screen. But if it is a smoke screen, I do think it is still kind of weak because... you know, you're not scaring your players in the right way.
Well, if you want it to be a smokescreen, I feel like you do need to like sprinkle more details. There need to be like, you know, like people talking, like government officials need to be like, we don't go outside the gates.
If Aiden was specifically being reckless, then that would be one thing. And then
Which
if the players decide
that,
to ignore
that, that would be fun.
You can do that, but even that is just, okay, you already had to save this guy once. He's just going around getting himself into trouble wherever he goes.
Yeah. But also the DM neglected like a very fun moment, a very fun opportunity for the players, which is whenever somebody like departs that you've been hanging out with, it's always great to like give them a little boost or a gift to go with.
Yeah.
Like you can just be like, oh, I'm going to give you guidance for your journey or something like that. Or I'm going to give you this item to hold on to so that you will like have a better chance of survival. I feel like the DM like missed an opportunity there.
This DM is also setting up kind of a bad precedent where anytime these people part with anybody,
you come
with us. It's too dangerous out there. Sir Aiden fell off an elk and died, so we can't have anybody else going off on their own.
Sometimes those gotchas, when they aren't earned, make your players play scared.
Yeah. I'm going to bring it back to pro wrestling. So
thank God.
Pro wrestling, heels, the bad guys.
It only took 45 minutes. Yeah.
He got
this
there.
This is important. This is important, okay? Heels are trying to get heat. Heat is getting people mad at you and getting people to boo you and stuff. And as a DM, you are trying to get a certain amount of heat.
Yeah.
And heat is good because it means that people want to watch you get your ass kicked. They really want that will sell the pay-per-view, seeing the hero beat the heel because the people hate you so much, but they also kind of love you because they do want to see you in the match. They want to see you fight, right?
Right.
Then there's a thing called go away heat, which is when people just boo you because they fucking hate you and they think you suck. They don't. They
you really
actually,
don't want that.
Like if
That's
I so suddenly tomorrow was just headlining Monday Night Raw, I would have go away heat because people would just be like, you can't wrestle. Why the fuck are you
this
here?
This example just gave me a window into your brain and heart, which is you've wondered, what would it be like if I was just headlining
I would
Raw?
Get go away. I would get go away heat.
You're all of a sudden in the promo, never been discussed before.
Totally. And that would give you go away heat.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Roman Reigns going up against Merv.
Yeah.
I'm picturing like people just being like, what, we're doing podcasters?
Yeah.
In audio medium?
If they brought on a Dungeons & Dragons podcaster and just expected
Would your name be the DM?
Yeah,
that's pretty good.
Yeah, and you're like, I'm going to railroad you. Choo-choo.
Oh, that's good.
And no one responds.
Well, I'm going to go this
heat.
One by the book.
Yeah.
And, smack
and
with
I
a
smack
book.
A Dungeon Master's guide that has tape over it because we can't show the logo because of the coast wouldn't agree.
It says Dragon Maestro on it.
Yeah. See, I would have, even if I acted like a quote unquote good guy, if somebody would still get cheered for kicking my ass because I have go away heat. They wouldn't want me there, even if I was a good guy.
Everything you're describing sounds really fun and confusing.
It
I
is
feel
confusing,
like the WWE should
but confusion
do that.
Is bad. Confusion is bad for this type of thing.
Yeah,
so I've gotten too.
That's you. It's fun for me.
I've gotten too deep into the tank here. With
right, I mean, wrestling. This whole thing made me side with the DM, and I don't think that was your intent.
No. My thing with the DM is that the DM has go away heat. The DM does not have the proper
heat.
Yeah,
but right now I'm rooting for you to go on WWE and get going.
No, that's go away.
We love go away.
I think I have too much respect for the business to think that if I was to go on Raw, it would be
Dude, you would have to go on Raw.
Jabroni to get pulled out of the crowd to get beaten up by a mid-card heel.
Imagine Murph's speech when he's like, you know where I come from? Raw means rules is written.
I don't get a speech. I haven't paid paid my dues.
Oh, and I can be there with a briefcase.
No, none of us are there. None of us are there.
And your bucket hat.
Yeah. We haven't earned it. Yes. We haven't earned it.
And I'm on the phone the whole time.
No. The only
the
way
frog lawyer.
The only way I could be on Raw is if I was a plant and they were like, oh, this guy really hates Gunther. And it's like me with like a sign.
Yeah.
And then the dude comes over and pulls me over the cage and then beats the shit out of me. And they never reference who I am. I'm just some random jabroni who gets destroyed.
That'd be sick.
Yeah, that would
be
awesome.
Distracting though for like the three people who know who you are.
Yeah, there'd be 10 people in the audience just being like, is that the guy from Mad Pod?
College Humor's
brain. Oh, shit. And what's this? Him. What's this? The Frog Hat Army is coming to his support?
I would never disrespect the business. None of us could beat a wrestler. We'd get go away heat.
But I think, yeah, I see what Emily's saying though, because I have heat for you getting go away heat.
Yeah, exactly. Mm-hmm. Me too.
Got it.
I'm so heated.
I am in heat for you getting
Okay. We've gotten so lost in the wrestling. My point is good heat is when the Strahd gets one up on the players and then disappears and casts a spell to escape, and then the players are like, ah, Count Strahd, I'm gonna get you. Go away heat would be like if you made up some spell so that Strahd could stun everyone that wasn't real, and then everyone had to make DC 40 checks to ever get out of it, and then Strahd escaped. That's go away heat.
Yeah.
I still think though that your original argument was pretty compelling, which is we can't sentence this DM for crimes that have not been committed.
But I also think that this is the player's brother, the DM.
Yeah.
So I think this is some brother razzing. I think this is some brother bullying.
Maybe.
I think I'm with the go away heat theory.
As much as I made the case for them saying, is this future crime? That is true to a certain extent, but I also think the smokescreen is not satisfying storytelling.
Yeah. I think this DM hasn't shown us what they're going to do yet.
Okay.
You think they got true heat lying beneath?
I think we won't know until the final reveal.
I think the smoke
reveal.
Machine is a fog machine.
Well, whoa. I'll say I don't want to like extinguish their flame just yet. Exactly. I feel like we do need to punish them, but I want it to be a light one. I want it to just be jorts for coyotes.
Okay. Oh, that's nice.
Yeah.
Are people against the DM here? Because I am going to vote against the DM.
Yeah, I think so. But
yeah, I'm against the DM.
I'm not voting. Whoa. We haven't seen the prestige yet. I abstain.
I forgot that was an option. I'll abstain as well.
I am abstaining.
Okay. Great. So I win.
I'm with you. I think they need to be punished, but just a light punishment.
Great.
Okay.
And it was jorts for coyote.
So jorted.
Yeah.
Jorts are a lot easier to fit on animals.
Exactly. Right. Yeah. Because you don't have to like shimmy them up the legs.
You don't have to taper.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You don't have to like bunch up the entire pant leg and then shove it on in one quick motion, which is what I have to do with my child.
From the way you did that motion, I was like, okay. Yeah. Autobiographical.
He's done that before.
Mm-hmm. I could put jeans on a coyote. I believe it.
You think so?
Yeah. I could walk 10 miles. I could put jeans on a coyote. I believe this about myself.
One of those is way harder than the other.
But could you do it both in one day?
If the coyote is 10 miles away, that's the ultimate challenge.
Right. If you get there, you're tired, all you want is an Arnold Palmer, but actually you have to put jorts on a coyote first.
I do the 10-mile walk, and I see the coyote like at the top of the hill just waiting for me.
I would say I can't get my feistier cats into a carrier to bring them to the vet. So I'm
going to
say I definitely can't put jeans on a coyote.
We had to cancel a vet appointment one time because we couldn't get our cat into the carrier.
Yeah.
She's a willful one.
Yeah. Well, the thing is, your cats don't want to eat you, but a coyote would be like trying to chomp me.
Oh, and my God.
A cat will eat your face after you die.
That's true. But after you die, you're still alive. They love you.
It's a communion.
The trick is to get the coyote to want to put the jeans on himself.
That's really the secret.
So you're actually wearing the jorts, making them look so fashionable, and then you get approached by the coyote, not in hostility, but rather in curiosity. Hey, where'd you get those jorts? Oh, these? Oh, that's actually crazy. I actually have two pairs on if you wanted another
one. But you could never pull these off, coyote. I don't think so.
Yeah, sorry. I think it's for humans only.
It's more for
start
humans
walking
and elks.
Away.
I don't think so. These are a size 32. okay, so Jordard.
So Jordard.
Amazing.
So Jordard, and our final case comes from Greg D. Greg writes, esteem justices and the meddling bailiff jock, I want to say.
That's kind of cool.
I like meddling for you.
Yeah, I like that you give me enough credit that I could meddle. My friends and I play a biweekly 5e campaign. One week, I knew I was not going to be able to make it the next session. Mm. We have a rule that if you can't make it, the DM turns you into an NPC and plays for you, so you still get experience and you get to stay at the same level as everyone else.
Cool. Sure. Great.
Okay.
Great. Perfect.
The DM is my best friend forever.
Okay.
Oh, that's so nice. What could possibly go
wrong? We'll see if the friendship lasts.
High five. Let's do our secret handshake.
Maybe
kisses
we should
on
just bless this friendship.
Yeah, we bless your friendship.
We bless your friendship.
Thank you.
Thanks so much.
Yeah, that's where it ends.
I'm not there. I think there was betrayal. I think there was betrayal.
At the end of the session, I thought was jokingly, told the DM to use me as a, quote, meat shield for everyone so we could get out of the fight you're about to get into. Mm-hmm. Well, I come to find out that he took me seriously and my character full on died while taking the majority of the damage for everyone. I'm not truly upset, but should I have clarified that I was being sarcastic and not serious? It was early in the campaign and I just made a new character that was this guy's cousin, but still.
Hmm.
Mm.
Yeah, no, it's weird. I think it's a weird move from the DM.
Uh-huh.
This DM has go away heat with me.
At the table, I'm another player. I would be like, okay, well, let's not actually have this character die.
It is kind of, I don't know, you're taking the person literally and you're being mm-hmm. like, okay, I am going to use you as a meat shield. But ultimately, as the DM, what kind of story are you trying to tell here? Mm-hmm. Do you think that was good or fun
to kill this person
that wasn't there?
You're also kind of like betraying what the person has set up. Like using them as an NPC, I think, just means kind of keeping them mostly in the background and somewhat consistent with what they've been doing.
Yeah. Is there any world where this DM was like, oh, I know they were kidding, but I'm going to do this anyway because mm-hmm. I think it'll be funny?
It seems like it could have been funny. And then after it was over, everyone's like, huh, was that worth the laughs?
Yeah. I do think this is a situation where the table got carried away.
Yeah.
Where the DM said, okay, like, this person can't make it. They're the meat shield. And everyone got on board with that. And then it actually happened. And they're like, oh, is anyone a cleric?
Yeah. The other thing is that this is kind of their, like, I don't know, like a go-to that they use sometimes. If somebody can't come, the DM will play you as an NPC. And now the DM has killed someone as an NPC. It kind of makes people be like, oh, I don't know if I like you playing my character, DM.
Maybe this is the DM's goal, is to be like, I want to let people know that if they miss a session, they might die.
I feel like I do this with NPCs sometimes, and I would encourage other people to do this. Instead of actually playing the other person's character, just explain away that the person has something to do or something where they're still getting levels, or have it be like, you guys get attacked by 5 vampire spawn. Oh, and this person's fighting the other one. You see, they're kind of having a duel wrestling in the background.
Yeah.
And it's just that it's explained away. They're still there. They're still helping, but you don't need to deal with the mechanics of like, oh, the person might die while they're not at the table.
Yeah.
On the flip side, it's kind of a compliment. You made a joke that people had a lot of enthusiasm for.
Yeah, I have to imagine that in the other sessions, the NPC character was just like, ooh, I love drinking mud.
I'm just over here
drinking mud. I can't get enough of this shit. I don't know.
Hmm. I guess, okay, the question though is, you know, is it technically okay? Because they did say, use me as a meat shield, even though it was a joke.
I think you just have to, you're never allowed to be sarcastic again.
Yeah.
Every time you make a sarcastic joke, say LOL JK after, and then that's the only way that you can guarantee that people heard you.
Yeah. I think the DM does need to be punished, but since they're best friends, the punishment needs to be you just take your friend out for like a really fun night.
Whoa, that's really good.
Yeah,
let's
you go on a
10
mile hike with your friend.
You guys,
a 10 mile
in Dockers.
Hike. In Dockers.
Yeah.
2 pairs of Dockers each.
Yeah.
Maybe one pair. Maybe you're splitting them. You do the first 5 miles.
Wait, 2 pairs each would be, that's 4 Dockers total?
Yeah, you got to double dock, dude.
For the coyotes. Yeah, double dock.
Oh, right. Yeah.
You don't double dock when you want to walk?
So ordered. And now let's step into church for a confession. We've got a good one from Stig.
Okay.
Stig writes.
Stig.
Don't fail us, Stig.
Stig.
Ahoy to their holiness and the wee Spaniards.
I'm already wrapped.
I have a confession. I was kept late at work. I work at a nonprofit. Please don't let my selflessness color your judgment.
You're a hero, Stig. You're a hero,
so joined a virtual
Stig,
session.
You're awesome.
And so joined a virtual session in a bit of a scramble. In doing so, being on the toilet and without any of my play materials, I forgot how a magic item I have worked, the oath bow. I did not give myself advantage on either of my first two attacks against a purple worm. In round two of combat, having remembered how the item worked, I decided to give myself elven accuracy style double advantage on one of my attacks after regular advantage wasn't enough to hit. I crit. I dealt some mean ass damage to this worm, which we were destined to womp within the round anyway. I don't feel bad.
Wait, why are you confessing then?
Stig, get out.
I trusted you, Stig.
You've lost us.
I knew it wasn't going to make a meaningful difference and took the nat 20 as a sign that Dice Cries approved of me letting myself have a little more fun.
What?
Okay.
Well, this is not a confession.
Can we just go back? You were on the toilet?
After a really long day at work, parentheses, at a nonprofit. Open to other opinions, though, LOL.
Oh, my God.
What's he whispering down to y'all?
Stig, you're okay in my book.
Yeah.
You're a loose cannon. I love it.
Stig, you do unfortunately have to take one of your prize D20s and flush it down the toilet.
Yeah, I was going to say, my only issue, honestly, what
there's
you,
like four issues
what
here.
What you did was wrong, but your attitude
Stig,
is
Stig
funny.
Is playing on the toilet.
Yeah, yeah.
Stig
I
is
really, really
lying
need
about
to say no
their
nat
20s.
To the toilet.
Stig is not
unrepentant.
Is it completely unrepentant
it's
and yet
no
is
for me.
Coming into confession and just bragging.
It
but
almost feels like
technically
a
it is a
joint.
Confession. They're confessing, just not guilt.
It almost feels like Amir joined the Patreon. And
yes, it does. It does feel like an Amir bit. It feels like an Amir bit.
I just
yeah.
saw him last
it has like fake feel. Am I the Asshole vibes.
Yeah.
Yeah. They dropped the nonprofit
yeah,
thing twice
you can't
at
just,
the top and at the end.
You can't just yeah, keep rolling and so assume funny. That that means Dice Christ is on your side.
Yeah.
Like you
yeah,
will you get can, a nat 20 eventually. Can. If you roll four times, it's not, you know, statistically
you know,
that's pretty normal.
You didn't come to us for forgiveness, so,
so
we're not going
to give
it to
you.
I think we've all enjoyed this interaction nonetheless, yeah. though. No forgiveness for you. God bless or
you,
get neglected.
You do have get out heat, unfortunately.
Get out heat.
You're,
and
you're getting some go away
it.
Heat.
Whoa, Stig just took a handful of wafers and walked out of the
tree. Stig style. They work for a nonprofit, unfortunately.
You've made a mockery of this church.
Stig, you're
it.
Absolute walking blasphemy. Yeah. Get out of here. Get out of here, Stig. And don't come back or do. I don't know. I can't.
Stig's gaming
can't
in the confession booth. It can't be stopped.
So, right. So not forgiven.
So not forgiven.
So not forgiven.
So
we
not forgiven. And with that, why don't we go ahead and wrap this one up? Thank you
ooh,
all
yeah.
so much for listening. We'll have more bonus cases over on our Patreon, patreon.com/nadpod. That's NADDPOD. Don't
ooh,
sing yet.
That's right.
Don't do it. Does anybody have anything they'd like to plug?
Yeah, going to the dentist. Go to the dentist. Get
you got
to
go to
out.
The dentist.
Yeah, get them chompers
oh,
checked.
Yeah.
Get them chompers checked. Get them chompers checked. I know that maybe you're intimidated by the price, but it'll cost less if you are good about it than if you lapse.
Right on.
Yeah.
And so. Besides just going to the dentist, I've got a plug. I want to plug our friend's show. Three Black Halflings is doing their first live show ever. It's going to be in London on Friday, wow. April 5th at Leicester Square Theater.
Whoa.
You can get tickets at leicestersquaretheater.com. That's theater with the R-E at
ooh,
the end.
Ooh.
Yes.
Wow. So you know British. It's going to be good. You know it's going to be good.
Check that show out.
Support our friends, Three Black Halflings, and check out their first live show.
Incredible. See him at the square.
See him at the square.
I have one thing I'd like to plug, which is that you can listen to this show and also the after show on Apple as well as on Patreon or wherever you get your podcast. We put the bonus show right there in the feed. If you're listening on iTunes right now, there's going to be a little subscribe button. Just give that thing a click and you'll get a little free trial. Why not give it a try?
Yeah.
Right on. And you know what? You can also integrate your Spotify into Patreon. So it's easier than ever to support the show across all of the platforms.
So
go
easy.
Check it out. And you can follow us on social media that we may not use at chmurfsme, at Caldy's Caldwell, at EX towards Emily, and at Jake versus Jake. And you can tweet about the show using hashtag NADPOD. That's NADDPOD.
We are the youth of a nation. We are the youth of a nation.
Dungeon. 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 Dungeon.
dungeon, dungeon, dun, dungeon, 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 dungeon,
And now it's time to thank our benevolent Council of Elders, Brad D., Jeffrey S., Lord of the Fjord, UC, later Mick Skater, Matt M., Cutter W., Jeff C., Daniel G., Dungeon Mama, back and more sexual than ever, Danielle the Dastardly Dame, Beardman Dan, Danny P., Bryant, best friend to Nathan the Horse, Vincent W., Victor T., Balnor's boy, Hoyd's friend, Justin I., Danny Danster, TJ M., Trele, The Cray, Disillanius, Christopher B., Damiel R., Jordan L., Cyborg version of Josh the Kobold, Targot, Stevie Wags, Hellish Rebuker, PhD, RIP Squeam, he died as he lived, without context, Princess Yar, Jory S., Jack L., Nicholas C., star of every film ever made in Bohemia, now starring in the Iron Deep production, A Squire Never Tires, Samuel B., Mike H., Alka Smeltzer, plus Great Value Gemma, Adam G., Tyler F., Knee Badger, Panama James, Heradrian, Carbro, Chapel Hill, FPV, Rex Daniel the White, Diana DLL, CC Lulu, Hercule Poirot, the Rabbit Folk Detective, Timmy R., Rako, Calder Comes Cold, shout out to the Cold Come Companions, Frosty Facial, Taylor B., the Vengeful One-Winged Angel, Cass Skateboard Cass, Steven Speeds Into Seasons of Sneezin C., Mike K., Lady Taco and Team Incredulity, Jake L., Nick W., William W., Big Bad Beardo, The Mad, Anorama, Percival Frederickstein von Muscle, Klawowski de Rolo, The Third, J. Dragonborn, Turbo Lancaster, The Sandrian, Ben A., Dave H., Christian S., A Totally Normal Vulture, Dustin S., Danny F., Hawkeye Pierce, Bookbar's Assistant, Izzy F., DPC is Awesome, Sean, The Shade Tree Mechanic of Zelbuldar, Summer RG, Cat C., Misa of House and Zunza, Ariel, The Occasional Mermaid, Selena N., a.k.a. Valesi Raptor, B. Perky Always, Maxwell J., Lauren H., Nolani, The Coffee Barista Brewing Fighter of Limpiel and Bohemia, Serve 16, The Bone Duster, Annie, The Feywild Therapist, Skillful Ferret, Connor Savage, Salil, Weed, Goku 69, a.k.a. Gunk at 16, Experimenting with Drugs, Bioquart 7, Amber Dextrous, Sullivan H., Trubhop Dropper, Jack H., a.k.a. Hey Guys 8-Bit Book Club, has 998 reviews on Spotify, two more, and the scribe said his dad would guest. Let's juice. What? Lindsay W., Valen, Carlin C., Emily S., Noah the Bullywug Boy, hashtag release the filthy guppy cut, James G., Everything Bago the Eladrin who just wants to hang out with his pet badger, Stripey, Daddy Master Dandy, Han, Eric B., Marcos, Learns the Balance Druid, Dakota JP., Frida M., Tracy P., The Crick Elf Librarian, Maggie S., Holly Hyena, Giovanni the Fighter, Akash Thakar, Andrew the Crick Plains Walker, Dufinius, Russell H., A Monk Named Dilgo, yes, the whole thing, yes, every time, Cody C., Keychain Pentium 2, Processor, Lorelei the Succubus, and Kira, her busty queen, Turt Cobain, the Turtle Barbarian. Hell yeah. Matt M., Your Friendly Neighborhood, Yant and Yunkle, Andrew and Sid, John Adams, the write-in candidate for 2024, Meg the Mail Carrier, Manager of Bohemia, James F., Jimmy A., M4L, Austin S., Wayfarer, now has to do something with the trolls, get rid of them, turn to page 42, keep them, turn to page 69, Shane C., Barpo Goodbarrel, Bard, Barian, Welsh Lander, Garrett G., One Big Curd, Mr. D., Dana the Daisy, Ethan B., Havi the Half-Orc, Renee the Monster Captain, Box Clifton, Olivia the Enchanting Bard, who is working hard on her audition for the lead singer of the Mountain Crows, Winter Slade, Sammy B., Bahumia's Finest Linguist, Riley S., Fico, Garrett the Artificer, Anthony the Raddest of Dudes, Josh H., Caleb L.S., The Fairies Say Om Nom 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 Nom, Cantrip, Dumbledore, The Bear Onesie Wearing Barbarian, Lexi H., MJ, The BFG, Cam the Frogman, Swags, Dry Cousin from Gladeholm, Artavius Crass, Gino T, Mama Bell, Derek D, Tristan the Talentless Hunk, Shenanigans O'Connor, Mios the Great, Joshua S, Alexander, Linz W, Angel LaPamela, The Forever Vindicated, Emma S, Red the Reforged, Warforged, Pavo Escanor, the Goliath Paladin, providing service with a smile, Amelia, leader of men and friend to elves, a breathless heaving whisper to get there. Wow. A cat napping in a sunbeam listening to a podcast. CJ Hampton, Shell B, Ken a second favorite sprite girl. She's casting power word party on everyone listening. If below 150 HP, you must now limbo. Jackson R, Blake H, searching for a sweet blue hole with his bestie Big Bev, Claire and Callum, Mick Beth, Meemaw Skydays, Oh It's V, Tommy W, Mike and Lisa, sending love to y'all, Haley the Human, Megan N, the Big M, Balnor's best friend, Steve, Stephanie of House and Zunza, Jake's Ramen Shop, R.I.P. Melchior the Brave Lion and Warrior, who even cares about the rest of the party, Benjamin A, Sacrificial Otaku, pen name for Callie's cousin who discovered anime and is trying to spread the word all over Bahumia, Jiggy Merlino, Mickle A, Josh Hole, Form the Hooves and Legs, Froki Maple, the Shy Bookworm, Ashley, Seth E, Billy B, Tori, the Dragoose, son of Thomas, the blind bisexual goose, by icon and father of 69, Signets. Yes, it's a real goose. Look him up. Okay. Wolfwing Pop escaped the Nautiloid but crashed into a new place called Atavast and is now working at the Romansion. Michael L.S. the second. Cobbersby has been locked away in Jake's basement and is safe. I promise. I didn't write that. I'm just reading verbatim, folks. Nova, Cry, Parcel, Dex, Riddlewell, Hannah A, Ace, Dregs, High Lord of Critzburg, Joshua F, Darius D, Troy's Mom, Vin, Diagram, Nurse Betty, 141, GKC, Teehee, and Hassanator. Thanks, everybody.
That was a HeadGum Podcast.